Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Pop Therapy.
Remember how last episode you said that we're going to be regular, and I was like, don't say that. And then you said, no, we will be.
Yeah.
We can no longer say that, Laura. I don't like being a liar.
I know. And you know, I made high promises.
Empty
because,
promises.
But the problem was, see, last week was going to work out perfectly because we're supposed to pod on Tuesday. I had my last court application of the year, knock on wood, on Tuesday. And I was like, perfect. We'll finish. I'll not work the rest of the day. Well, actually, it was at 2:30. So like, whatever. But I'm like, then I'll be fine. And then these fucking idiots on the other side of this file sent me a bunch of new cases. Shit hit the fan. I had to go back to court on Wednesday. And then I had to work all night until like midnight. So that was why I couldn't pod last week. It was a reasonable excuse. And then yeah, I was dead. So then I couldn't pod on Wednesday.
And then I was gone. So it's not like we had a different day to pod.
Yeah. So anyways, I know it's empty promises at this point, but I do think it'll be better.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I know our listeners are going to need something to do over the holidays, and we're going to have to give them regular content to get them through those family gatherings.
It's true. Like, we need to have a special Christmas carols episode.
We need to do this to get through the family gatherings.
We need to do a pop therapy gift guide. What other holiday content can we have?
I think that we should do Secret Santa between you and I.
So secrets.
I think it would go really well. I mean, you don't know if the gift that I get you is for you or Teeps or Wizzy or Toonie.
Better be for me.
Maybe it's for something you can use with me. Like a tie-dye kit.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be fun.
Good times.
I have done one piece of Christmas shopping so far. I bought Travis.
Me?
No, I bought Travis's present.
What is it?
He will literally never listen to this.
Yeah, so what is it?
I bought him a new bat.
Oh, baseball bat?
Yeah, and I was
so expensive.
You're fucking telling me. And so I did it so sly though, because this guy who you know, Tanner, all is like obsessed with Travis, like loves Travis's baseball skills. Like, oh my, he's always talking about his swing. Like he cornered me at the office one day to talk to me for 5 minutes about how Travis's swing and the way his hips open up and everything is just like so amazing. So I'm like, oh my God, okay. So, and he always like gives Travis all these compliments whenever they're playing together. So,
and Teeps is probably like, oh, it's beauty.
Yeah, exactly. He loves it. Pumping his tires. So when he broke his bat this year, Travis did. So I was
like,
is he
beating you?
No.
Laura,
not any more than usual.
Well, you saw his text when we were talking about your birthday gift. I was like, oh, she'll love it. He goes, she better. Otherwise, beatings.
Standard. So I thought of the perfect idea. So I texted Travis and I was like, oh, because I didn't know anything about this bat. I don't know anything about bats.
Oh, Tanner wants a bat.
Can no, I said, Travis, Tanner is like obsessed with your bat. What? He's asking me for the details. And so then Travis gave me all the details of his bat, like went and found
and
it, all these
like
things.
He's like aloof.
Yeah, I was like, oh, thanks so much. And then he kept on sending me details. I was like, I got it. Okay, bro. Like, stop texting me. Get a life.
Wishes he'd text her more.
I know. So then I went and bought the 2023 version of that bat. It was a 2019 bat, and I bought the 2023 one. So it's pretty fucking sick. And he better like it.
When I was captain of my slow pitch team for my previous firm, aka put the team together, we were given, well, we were basically just given free rein over getting a good bat, didn't matter how much. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I didn't understand when Braxton was like, this is sick. And then we went to Sport Check and we're checking out bats. And I was like, holy shit. Like the cheapest bat was $150.
Yeah.
I think we paid $320.
Yeah, mine was about that.
That's insane.
It was stupid expensive. And I was thinking like, oh, I'll get a Black Friday sale. But when I put something on my to-do list to do, I just want to get it done and do it. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not even going to wait for any sales. I found this one. I'm going to get it. It's done. It's over. Goodbye.
Well, if you do see one in the Black Friday sale, you can get it and then return the other one.
Yeah, that's true. I bought it from a really random store, which I thought was maybe going to be sketch, but now it says Canada Post is going to deliver on Friday. So, yeah, super exciting.
So how are you going to hide that?
I could hide it in plain sight. Like I could literally have it like laying on his bed and he would not even clue in that that might be his present.
Yeah. He's, I mean, he does think the shovel is yellow.
So. Yeah. He's not the brightest, sharpest, most observant person I've ever met.
Well, we still love him.
We do. Okay, so should we get into hot tops?
Yeah, there wasn't much this week, in my opinion. We can start with Pete Davidson. I don't know if you saw this meme, but it was like Pete Davidson is that associate who keeps lateraling up and you have no idea how.
Yes.
But like me. No, I'm kidding. No, but so he was spotted on a date with Emily Ratajkowski. Is that how you say her name?
Yeah, I think so. Emrata.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was kind of surprised because, you know, part of me feels like, why isn't he still in love with Kim? Like, how did he move on so fast?
Yeah, like, so I actually, like, kind of got offended myself.
Yeah, I was kind of rattled.
And I was like, okay, Shereen, maybe, like, this is something you need to unpack. Like, it's your own shit. And it is. But, like, how do you move on from Kim Kardashian 2 months later when you got tattoos of her? Oh, I guess he does that with everyone. But she was his longest relationship.
I know. And I just feel like they were so cute together. And
they're still in touch.
Like, yeah. It all just – like in my mind, Kim and Pete are like meant to be forever twin flames, soulmates. Wait,
what? You said that it was just like a fun thing.
I know. I've really come around. Well, now that I've seen him with someone new, I'm like, this isn't right. Like, this is not betrayal. How it's supposed to be. Yeah. That's how it feels.
Yeah. It's like that song by T. Swift, the question one.
Yeah.
It's just
Can
a question.
I ask you a question?
It's just a question.
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt really caught off guard by this. And I felt like, I think I was just waiting for them to like reunite, get back together, throw up their flame again. And now it's just like, what's going on here? And also, I just don't see them as a match.
Really?
I know nothing about Emily Ratajkowski.
I could see it. And I think that's why it hurts.
Really? So is she like, so when we saw Kim and Pete together, they were so like cute and fun and funny. Like Kim's funny. What's Emily Ratajkowski? Is she funny? Is she quirky? Is she a good time?
She's kind of like Julia Fox.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But like less aloof.
I've really come around on Julia Fox.
Me too. I told you.
I know. She's really having a moment right now.
I know. Like, it's like the one thing I'm thankful for from Kanye.
I know. And I'm seeing her literally everywhere. I'm like, how is she popping up everywhere?
Because the girl's got wisdom.
She does. She just facts. She does not give a fuck about anything. She's like so self-confident and secure.
She kind of reminds me of Kathy Hilton where she... What's that saying where it's like she lets on more? I don't know. Like she knows what she's doing where she acts aloof, but she's like way smarter than you think.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
And
I
it's
think
like
that
kind of a gig, an act.
Totally. But it's because she's learned like what will make her go farther in life. And she's like exploiting it. She's like, look, I'm not this stupid, but if you want me to be stupid and it's going to get me farther, here you go. And so I'm not saying she's stupid, but it's just like that's an example.
I agree. So Emily was actually or is friends with Kim. Do you remember when her and Kim posted a nude and they were like covering their boobs and it said something like no nude selfies? Something like that?
No. Oh.
This was like 7 years ago.
Oh, and they're still friends?
Yeah, I think so. And she, Emily, recently commented on that TikTok that Khloé posted of Kris Jenner being really high saying I love you to Khloé. And Emily was like, she's such an icon or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, but so where it started was Demois posted that Emily and Pete were spotted together in NYC in Brooklyn, and they were quite handsy, and they looked like they had been hooking up with the way they were touching each other. So it hasn't been confirmed, but
maybe everybody just wants a piece of that BDE.
Yeah.
Like, I mean he must be a good time to hang out with.
But
like,
it's that theory, like, once like a really hot girl that you admire or look up to touches some guy that you would never consider, suddenly that guy, like, every girl is curious about him, and he suddenly gains like credibility and other girls want to date him.
Yeah.
But it's not because of the guy, it's because the girl gave him credibility.
Yeah, and Pete's got that in spades. Like, it's just like girl after girl after girl.
Like, it started with Ariana.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I also thought that Kim and Pete would reconnect, because last I heard they were still in touch.
Well, maybe they still will. Maybe this is just like they're just fucking and they'll be not fucking next weekend.
Maybe Pete will just realize like Kim is creme de la creme. No one will compare.
Agreed. And hopefully Kim will come around on Pete.
Hopefully Kim's okay. She seems to be doing fine. Did you see her little pink number where she won a charity award?
No.
Baby to baby gala?
No.
She looked fire.
She always looks fire.
She does. I really like this whole blonde hair that she's kept for the past year. It really suits her.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. So that was it for Kardashians. Very slow news week for them.
Yeah, which is rare.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Bravo news, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills normally starts filming like right after their reunion is taped or shortly after. But the past season was so draining, apparently, to the cast that they have not started filming, and they're probably not going to start until January 2023, which I think means we won't get a season until like next November, December.
That far away? That's a long time. I'm kind of was night, like, I don't mind having this break because I feel like that season lasted forever. But I just, like, a while ago, I don't know if it was all bunk, but there was rumors about the cast shakeup, and like they didn't make any sense. Like, it was basically like Garcelle and Crystal being on the chopping block. I'm like, why would they be on the chopping block? They are the show right now. Like,
they
what
would, I feel like they wouldn't be on the chopping block. They'd have Beverly Hills on the chopping block. Like, it would be their decision to leave.
Yeah, I don't know, but it was very strange. And then they're thinking of bringing back like Lisa Vanderpump and Denise or something, and getting rid of like Lisa, and it just didn't make any sense. I was like, what would this show be if you actually implemented this? But I'm guessing it's all bogus.
Where did you see those?
It was on like Queens of Bravo or something posted from like an article or something, but I feel like it was maybe debunked shortly thereafter. I don't know, but it made no sense.
Well, speaking of Denise Richards, her and her husband Aaron were driving to set, and I guess Aaron couldn't figure out where he was going, and the car behind him was getting frustrated and shot at his car.
That's just so fucked up. Like, how do you get shot at in a road rage incident?
But apparently, so I was reading more, and Aaron has been talking about how he feels like he's being followed and has been noticing people following him. So I think it was like a targeted thing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're safe, but yeah, their car was shot at.
That's wild.
I know.
Ugh.
Really glad Republicans won the House today.
They won the House today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't see that news.
Yeah, so guess guns will keep gunning.
God.
Horrible.
Oh my God.
But anyway, no politics on this show.
Yeah.
Lindsay Hubbard recently appeared on Katie Malone's podcast. I didn't know Katie had a podcast.
Yeah, she's had her podcast for a long time, like a very long time.
Mm. Well, she had some stuff to say about Amanda and Summer House in general. Apparently, she's gotten closer with like Maya, Paige, Sierra.
See, that's very shocking to me. Like, because.
Right. Because Danielle has gotten close with them.
Yeah. And like, just the Paige. So I could understand her getting close with Sierra and Maya, but the Paige of it all is what doesn't make sense to me, because I thought this whole summer house was going to be like vindication for Hannah. Mm-hmm. And Hannah had like the major beef with like Lindsay. And so it's like, why would she be closer to Paige? Like, this isn't making sense. Like, the math ain't mathing.
I don't know. But she had a lot to say about Amanda. She was like, I go out way more than Amanda, so I'm at more meet and greets than her. And whatever she said was fucking bullshit.
Oh my gosh. Whatever.
Agreed. There's really nothing more to say. But she did say that the release of Summer House is going to be early 2023, which I think is on par with all the other seasons.
Yeah, that would make sense. I'm excited.
Me too. Madison LaCroix is getting married this weekend. I can't wait to see her pictures.
She's going to look so far.
Her man is hot.
He is like, hot.
Her man is exactly what I am attracted to.
He does have the dead eyes.
He has the dead eyes. He's got the hair, like the hockey, the hockey player vibes with the preppy outfit.
See, it's so bizarre though, because like, I know the epitome of who you're attracted to, but every time you show me a guy, I'm like, the math ain't mathing, girl. Like, this is not that.
Really?
Except for one. You show me one that I remember.
Like, you mean the guys from Hinge? Or guys that I've actually gone on dates with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't remember the last time I was actually attracted to someone.
Yeah, well, I've noticed why. Because they don't have the dead eyes. They don't have long hair.
They don't have the dead eyes.
Like, I've seen two people in the past 2 years.
Who had it? But they were taken.
Who had it? They were taken. Yeah.
To clarify, I did not see them. No, I'm just saying those were the people I was attracted to. Unfortunately, they were taken.
Yeah. You never dated them. But every one of the ones you've dated has been like not at all look like that. So maybe you need to just like really focus on people on apps who fit that criteria and see what happens.
I told you I deleted the apps like 2 months ago, right?
I know, but you can always re-download them.
No.
I know. It's
those apps just make me feel shittier. Like, you go on and you're like, this is what I'm working with. I feel even lonelier. There's no hope.
Yeah, I get you.
So I'm just going to have to, you know, make a move on those taken men. Just kidding. I would hate me. But yeah, I need to find someone with dead eyes.
Yeah. And so dead, for the listeners,
sad, drunk, what sleepy eyes.
Basically means is like the size of their eyes are kind of like, their eyes are quite droopy, but usually pretty big, like big and droopy eyes. Okay, Greg Grippo.
Yes.
From The Bachelor is exactly what we're talking about. Like, that is the vibes.
It is Greg Grippo.
Speaking of, that's our next story.
Nice transition.
Thank you so much. Okay, so Greg Grippo. Well, I don't know all the deets of this. You have to.
Okay. So Bachelor in Paradise filmed their reunion, I think 2 weeks ago. And apparently it got really heated. And Greg Grippo was there as Victoria's date. So I think I said that, or did we have an episode where I talked about her being spotted in Italy with him?
No, because this is what happened. I like my spoiler-free life. Like, I live in my cone of unknowns. And then you send me TikToks that are like, oh, Greg spotted with Victoria. I'm like, bitch, I'm still watching the show. And on the show, she's with Johnny. So
we should have given people a spoiler alert. When you call me a bitch.
No, I was saying like, bitch.
I'm just kidding. I say bitch all the time. So do you want me to talk about this or no?
Well, yeah, I already know, so now you can go on.
It was impossible for you to dodge.
Yeah, I know.
I only ever send you spoilers that I know you're going to see anyway.
Okay.
So how it started was Victoria Fuller was spotted with Greg in Italy, and apparently they got matching tattoos, and I don't know who got this info or how. And then Johnny's brother ended up liking a comment on social media that was dissing Victoria, and then Victoria posted a picture. And the caption was like, put on that black dress that all the boys love. And Greg commented saying, good girl, and immediately deleted it. But obviously people screenshotted it. So all these things are happening one after the other. And people are like, oh my God, she's seeing Greg Grippo. And then he shows up as her date to the BIP reunion where it was confirmed. And that's why I didn't think it was a spoiler.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And Nick Viall had to put himself in the mix by posting like a TikTok.
He's so stupid.
I know. He posted like a TikTok of like a dinner before or after the reunion of a bunch of couples. And like Victoria was like putting her arm around Greg and giving me a kiss on the cheek. And then he captioned it soft launch. It's like, okay, yeah. Bro.
Yeah. But okay. So the BIP drama, do you want to know it?
No.
Okay. Well, Johnny and Victoria don't like each other.
Interesting. You know what? I am such a huge fan of Victoria.
Like, right?
I fucking love her.
That in the mic.
I love her so much. She is so funny.
She's so funny. She's so chill.
Her ITMs are hilarious. Like, she's so down to earth. She's self-confident. Like, I just, like, she is amazing. Like, she is fucking funny.
The only thing I didn't agree with was when Genevieve and Aaron were fighting and Victoria was like, see, that's how you know you love one another, when you have fights like that.
Like, yeah, definitely.
No, girl. No. Go back to therapy.
Yeah. Not the best advice.
Like, I don't know about her from the previous season, but all I see on Twitter is, wow, this is a totally different Victoria from Peter's season.
See, I just don't think she was given, which they rarely are, like the proper edit in terms of their season. Like, she was almost
kind of like Shanae.
No, she wasn't posed as that much of a villain. She was kind of like an undercover villain. Like, they definitely didn't want you to root for Victoria. But I think that there was a lot that we didn't see, because obviously she's got this amazing personality. She's super funny. She's super clever. And we didn't see any of that. We just kind of saw her being a beautiful, standoffish woman who was leading the pack. So, of course, like, the audience wasn't rooting for her. So I don't know. I don't think that she got necessarily a bad edit, like a villain edit, but she definitely didn't get an edit that showed her true personality.
Yeah, I mean, this is the only other scene I ever saw of Victoria was when she went to that date with Peter and the performer was her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
That was it. So all I know about Victoria is from BIP, and I just love her. I think she's very mature and emotionally intelligent.
I agree. An unproblematic queen.
Speaking of another unproblematic queen, Gabby.
Yes. Her and Eric have officially called it quits, which was rumored before, and then they both confirmed it.
Gabby really confirmed it on Dancing with the Stars.
What did she say? I didn't see that.
So they have, like, the video that they show before they perform of them, like, gearing up for the dance.
Yeah.
And she said that Eric and her split up and they just weren't each other's person. And I think they live life differently and they realize that. And they wanted different things out of life, blah, blah, blah. You know,
cliche yeah, stuff. Same old.
And then she's like, so I really want to, like, embody moving on in my dance, something like that.
Okay. So, yeah, stamp of officialness. I saw Eric, like, left a similar comment on his Instagram. Be like, we just weren't each other's person.
And he's, like, hinting at coming out with a project, and I just wonder what that will be, because, like, what does he do?
I have no
idea. No one cares.
No, truly. Yeah, and speaking of things no one cares about, the new Bachelor season is coming out on January 23rd, and, dude, I just actually
I don't think I'm going to watch it. No. I can't, like, stand Zach.
I cannot stand him. I'm sorry, Zach, but it's just, like, not for me. Like, the women are not going to be able to carry me through that season. It's just, like, I think it's the first season I'm not going to watch in a long time.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you.
Plus, like, I'm seriously so fucking over Bachelor in Paradise taking up 2 hours. Like, when is this show going to end? It used to be, like, a flash in the pan, like, 3 or 4 weeks of BIP, and then it's over.
I know.
Like, I feel like I've been watching this show since the leaves started changing. Like, it's been way too fucking long.
Because we have. It started September 27th. It's November. It's, like, last episode is November 22nd.
Oh, my God. It's, like, turning into Love Island. Like, because it's so slow. Like, literally, when I take notes of that show for this pod, I have no notes because there's, like, nothing actually happening. Content. so much filler, so many people I don't care about. It just needs to be over and done with.
Yeah, and we'll get to this week's episodes.
Yeah.
Not impressed.
Okay, so in other news, the Selena Gomez documentary, My Mind and Me, came out in the last couple weeks. And first of all, have you watched it?
Yes, did you?
No.
Okay, I wondered why you bolded it.
Because I wanted to hear your thoughts about whether you think I should actually watch it. My mentality was like, I've heard so many people talking about it that I feel like I already kind of know what it's about, and I'm not like a Selena like stan like you are. So I don't know. I just don't know if I actually am interested. And it also seems like a really big downer. And I don't like downers.
Yeah, it was a really big downer. It was actually quite triggering to watch. I could relate to a lot of what she was speaking about, and I was not in the right mindset to watch that. It was on a day that I was hungover. So it was quite emotional. But also, there are so many polarizing views on this documentary. Like, there's the people who want to bring Selena down, and then there's obviously her stans. But it's like she can't do anything right. And that's got to be so frustrating.
What I seem to be sensing from everything I've been hearing is like people who have struggled with mental health issues are like, this is an incredibly brave and deep documentary. Yeah. And people who and then there's the other tranche of people who like somehow the mental health stuff went right over their heads. Well, and
they're
like,
you ungrateful girl, like suck it up. We all have issues. You have so much money, so many people around you that love you. It's like, I think you're missing the point of this documentary.
And people who are like, I can't believe she didn't even talk about how Justin might have like triggered this whole thing. And it's like, dude, like it's called chemicals in your brain. Like,
right. And it's her fucking story. Like, she didn't do this for you.
Yeah. It's just like, you can't say, oh, this breakup is what spurned my bipolarism. Like, maybe the two things can trigger one another, but it's like, one is not, that's not, correlation is not causation. Like, I just don't understand. Yeah. Why you're even bringing that into the picture. Like, it just seems to me like the articles that I read that are like critically analyzing the whole thing and are saying like, look, I kind of realized that the whole sporadic nature of it and how it jumped around was intentional because it shows like what she was actually going through all the time. And she was all over the place and like ups and downs and back and forths. The people who like don't look at it from a critical eye are like, I just didn't understand like what time period we were at, and it kept flipping back and forth and all these things. So I don't know. It seems like the comments are all over the map.
Yeah. The biggest beef to come out of this, like sort of beef, was, do you remember she got a kidney from her friend Frances? What's her name? Francia.
Yeah, I don't know. But yes, I know she got a kidney from.
So she got a kidney from her. And when this happened, like, she was so incredibly grateful, like constantly plugging her on social media and still continues to. And then in this documentary, Selena said that her only true friend in the industry is Taylor Swift. So then her friend Francia, I think that's her name, comments on Twitter and just goes, interesting, which she has now deleted. So everyone is coming for Selena, but like other people are saying Selena was talking about the music industry and not the entire acting industry. And like Francia is not experiencing the same things that Selena does because she doesn't have the same amount of fame. So this is back and forth. And E! News posted about it and Selena commented on the Instagram post and said, I'm sorry I wasn't able to mention everyone's name.
Yeah, I feel like that was a mistake. Like, I think she should have just left it vague for people to like try to interpret what she meant or was trying to say by that. But by saying that, she kind of debunked all the other theories that like made it okay for her to have made that statement in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I think she should have just left it, and I don't think she meant anything by it.
No, I'm sure she didn't mean to like specifically exclude this person that gave her the kidney. I'm sure she's very grateful for that. But
well, she was very grateful on social media.
And it's just the whole thing is honestly very strange to me. Like, I would like a documentary in and of itself of that like kidney donation process, because I've been hearing all these things about how that happened in terms of like a bunch of people got tested, and then like Selena found out that this chick was a match before she knew she was a match, and kind of came to her and was like, you're a match. Like, what the hell are you going to do about it? Kind of thing. And this girl,
I didn't hear about that.
Selena didn't say that, but she's like, you're a match. And then the girl was like, oh, fuck, how do I get out of this? Of course, I have to give you a kidney now.
Well, there were other things being said where, like, at one point, France, whatever, was, like, homeless and not getting any jobs. And she stayed on Selena's couch for, like, months, and Selena took her in.
Yeah. I'm sure she's a good person.
So maybe it was when that happened.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I think Toonie almost, like, fell through the fucking stairway.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what she's doing. She's being... Sorry.
Do you need to go get her?
Podcasters. No, I think she's okay, but I heard all this, like, scratching and clawing, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And then I looked up, and, like, Toonie's, like, hanging from the staircase. But
oh, my God.
She secured herself, but I don't know what the fuck she's doing.
Cats.
She's, like, scraping at the roof. Anyways, I'm sorry, podcast listeners.
No need to apologize.
I just thought my cat was going to fall from the ceiling.
She would have landed on her feet.
I hope so. Okay, anyways.
Yeah, I don't know if you're not going to enjoy it because you don't like sad things. And it is sad. So...
Yeah,
you've already read all about it.
I agree. Skip.
Next, Ashley Darby and Luke from Summer House are still hanging out, and they're hanging out with Carl and Lindsay.
Yeah, and somebody else was in that group, wasn't it? Monique.
Yes.
So random.
Because Ashley gave her statement right in Monique's thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So they are friends.
But after they went to that hockey game, they posted TikToks of it. And then
they also,
like,
went to a football game, I think.
Yeah. And Ashley's been posting, like, dancing videos from Luke's apartment in like her, like, pajamas. Like, they're, like, full on, like, at Friends with Benefits, it seems.
I know. Where are the
kind of stan. I stan. Maybe they're Michael. Yeah.
I stan as well.
I love it. Like, and did you see Luke's talking about her on Watch What Happens Live?
No.
Yeah, so Andy was, like, grilling him, like, have you guys talked? When's the last time you texted? What was your last text? What's, like, and he was just, like, firing all the answers back. He's like, yeah, we just talked, like, an hour ago. We were talking about my outfit. She told me to recommend this outfit. I ended up wearing this outfit. Like, they're, like, in constant communicado.
So this all happened from BravoCon.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. So cute.
It's exactly what she needs.
Totally agree.
But yeah, Lindsay cannot dance.
No.
Did you see that TikTok of them dancing to Cuff It?
It was so cringe. Like, so cringe.
I mean, Ashley's not even that good herself, but Lindsay was terrible.
Yeah, I agree.
I wonder, like, how they all get along. Like, it's so weird to see Ashley Darby and Lindsay hanging out.
I know. It's so weird. It's like worlds colliding.
And Ashley's just, like, not used to being with a guy her age or younger.
I know. That's why I love it. Like, I feel like it's really bringing out her youthful fun side. Like, the side that we saw when she was first introduced into Potomac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, yay. Good for her.
Okay. So, Sex Lives of College Girls. The new season has come out now, right?
No, it's coming out tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
Well, at midnight.
Okay. Sweet. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I think they're releasing it weekly. That's what they did last time.
See, that annoys me.
I know. Same.
I just want to binge shows.
I know, because we discovered it when a bunch of episodes had already come out.
Yeah, like almost all of them. I feel at least half a season.
Yeah. I hate that. I really hate that.
We've been watching TV down in our basement, and it's, like, changed my life.
What do you mean? Why?
Like, we literally have lived in this house 3 months, and we've never gone and sat down into our basement to watch TV until
this
weekend.
And you love it?
It's like a game changer. It literally feels like we're going on a date night because it's, like, so, like, cute and cozy down there.
Separate room.
Well, it's – what do you mean a separate room?
Like, it's separate from – it's just a new place to go.
Yeah, it's a new place to go. Like, the – it's on recliner chairs. It's like, I will say this about the ugly couches. They're actually very comfortable.
Ugly couches are always so comfy.
I know. It's got a big TV. It's like, and the thing is, what I think is the best about it, there's no, it's like sensory deprivation because we don't have a kitchen right there. So you're not thinking about getting mm-hmm. food or getting a drink or like, it's just like it's you're locked separate. Into that room. Mm-hmm. It's epic. And we've been going down there and like the cats have their spaces. They love, hanging out down there. Yeah. So we've been watching all of our shows down there now and it's unreal.
That's awesome.
Because Yellowstone came back. By the way.
Oh, right. I did see that on Prime, but I'm not watching that.
I am.
I know. You just said it. Do you know who Victoria Culpo is?
I know Olivia Culpo, but I don't know Olivia. Victoria.
Not Victoria. So you know who Olivia is, my bad. I knew there was a V and an O. So you know how she dated Nick Jonas and Nick Jonas wrote the song Jealous about her?
Okay, I didn't know that, but sure.
Well, anyway, that's kind of where people started recognizing her. She has a show now with her sisters on TLC called The Culpo Sisters, and it's a reality TV show. And I just want to know, like, why?
Like, why is it on TLC?
Well, why is it on TLC? Why is it about them? When did this happen? There was
Are they popping any pimples? Did they gain 3,000 pounds? Like,
yeah, like what? Are they changing their wardrobe, renovating houses?
Yeah, like it doesn't fit. Maybe they're trying to like elevate their content or something. Or maybe they're the only ones who like would take their show. Have you watched?
No, because I don't know where to watch it. Like I don't have TLC on demand.
I don't think I'm not subscribe.
I'm not going to go looking for it either.
Yeah, neither am I. I'm not interested. I don't know who these people are that much. And
Did you ever finish Tell Me Lies?
No, not yet.
Oh, you bitch.
I know.
We
I
need just, to discuss.
I know.
Well, you sent me a post that said Grace Van Patten, the lead girl, and the boy are dating.
Yeah. Apparently they made their red carpet debut.
Interessant.
It is interessant.
He's not cute.
I don't think he's cute. And she's gorgeous.
She's hot. Yeah. I love staring at her.
Same. She's got such an interesting look and like very cute and
Love staring at her face.
Yeah. I don't love it. Even when I first saw Steven, like who he was cast as for the first time, I was like,
This is not Steven.
This is not what I was
like
picturing.
In the book. The author was so adamant about talking about his weight because, you know, what's her face? What is her name in the book?
I don't remember.
Lacey?
Lucy.
She has an eating disorder and like pays attention to weight, and they kept mentioning it and how he was like not the hottest guy and his belly would spill over and stuff like that. So
yeah, but isn't he jacked in the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
And she's the married with children's son. The mother's son.
Oh yeah. Right.
Yeah, she plays the mom in the show.
Yeah, she does.
I forget her name. Somewhere.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I see
about,
her
though.
Face and I always just think Al Bundy.
Yeah.
It's not her name.
Is her name Peggy in the show?
Maybe. Yes.
Something
that
like that.
Familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're dating and I need you to catch up and watch it.
Okay, I will, but I've got so many shows.
But you already started this one, so you need to commit.
I know.
Lastly, do you know who Candace Cameron Bure is?
I saw all of this. I'm like fully up to speed.
So for our listeners, Candace plays Danny or DJ in Full House. And she used to have a deal with the Hallmark Channel, but she left because their views didn't match. AKA Hallmark was starting to put out same-sex and LGBTQ relationships. And so she moved over to – what's it called? It's a new channel.
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called.
Anyways, she basically said, we're going to keep traditional marriage at the center of the stories, meaning heterosexual marriages.
Yes.
And well, they called same-sex marriages on TV a trend.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like, okay. So when I first read that article, it was like, okay, yes, they're using all these words that are like extremely vague, but read between the lines because they're like, yeah, we're not saying we know what the trends are right now, and we're not saying not this now or not this never. we're just like focusing on like traditional marriage. And it's like, okay, well then what the fuck are you implying there? You're implying that like traditional marriages, yeah, that LGBTQ or whatever is just a trend, and traditional marriage, the only thing that can be traditional is heterosexual marriages and all this stuff.
She brought Christianity into it, I think.
Oh, she's like major, she's majorly religious. So right, then did so you see her statement today?
No, I didn't. What did she say?
Okay, so it's quite long, but I'm going to read it. Yeah. So she posted on Instagram. She said, I would like to address my comments on Great American Families programming as reported in the Wall Street Journal. All of you who know me know beyond question that I have great love and affection for all people. It absolutely breaks my heart that anyone would ever think I intentionally would want to offend and hurt anyone. It saddens me that the media is often seeking to divide us even around a subject as comforting and merry as Christmas movies. But given the toxic climate in our culture, right now I shouldn't be surprised. We need Christmas more than ever. I am a devoted Christian, which means that I believe that every human being bears the image of God. Because of that, I am called to love all people, and I do. If you know me, you know that I am a person who loves fiercely and indiscriminately. My heart yearns to build bridges and bring people one step closer to God. Blah, blah, blah. To all the members of the media responsible for using this opportunity to fan flames of conflict and hate, I have a simple message. I love you anyway. To those who hate what I value and who are attacking me online, I love you. To those who have tried to assassinate my character, I love you. To everyone reading this of any race, creed, sexuality, or political party, including those who have tried to bully me with name-calling, I love you. I have long wanted to find a home for faith-based programming, blah, blah, blah. I had also expressed in my interview, which was not included, that people of all ethnicities and identities have and will continue to contribute to the network in great ways, both in front of and behind the camera, which I encourage and fully support. I've never been interested in proselytizing throughout my storytelling, but I want to celebrate God's greatness in all our lives, blah, blah, blah.
So what is she saying?
I think she's trying to say, like, I love God and I don't have a hateful heart, and I never said that we wouldn't have, that we were anti whatever. I support all. I don't know what she's saying,
but she said that traditional marriage is going to be at the center of the stories. So yeah, the other people might contribute to it, but your main plot line is going to be a heterosexual marriage.
Yeah, I think it's like, so I saw someone comment something like, look, if that's like what you value and believe in most, like go or want that to be the focus of your programming, go do you, but like you don't have to like slam or put down others in doing so.
Yeah, I agree with that. Hillary Burton from One Tree Hill had a lot to say about it. She was like something about laughing your prejudice way all the way to the bank, and yeah, called her a bigot.
Yeah, and the thing is, like when Candace Beer or whatever was talking about name calling, it's like, it's not name calling, it's calling a spade a spade. Like if you are saying prejudicial things, you are being a bigot. So it's not name calling, it's not like being like you're a bitch, it's like facts.
It's literally the definition of the word. So
yeah, this is just, yeah, it's very interesting. And Jojo Siwa was also commenting on it because they had their whole beef.
Oh, and yeah,
and then Jody Sweetin, who is what's their sister's name,
I don't know.
Stephanie in Full House.
Oh, okay.
So Jojo Siwa said something like, I can't believe that you would go out and like, well, I forget what she exactly said. Basically, like, I can't believe she would go out and say something like this after everything. And
yeah.
Then Stephanie Tanner commented, she's like, I love you, Jojo, like gave her support.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, it's been very controversial. I just didn't realize that like Candace Cameron Bure, whatever, was so religious.
Same. I had no idea. When I realized who was saying these things, I was like, no, come on.
Yeah.
That's why we can't have nice things.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways.
Well, that's it for, Jesus Christ. That's it for Hot Tops this week.
Okay, let's get into pitch or ditch a bitch.
You can do it this week. I don't have anything to pitch or ditch.
Okay, well, I know we both watched the show. Buying Beverly Hills came out a few weeks ago on Netflix. I binged the whole show in like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite part of it all, like the they're trying to obviously make a TV show by creating all of these like dramas and dynamics between the people. I think they're a little bit far-fetched and stretched, but I didn't really care about that because I was most focused on like the real estate, and damn, like they have some hella nice houses and they're actually focused on the houses. They're actually showing the houses, like showing all the intricacies of them. It's above and beyond Selling Sunset, because Selling Sunset just kind of like glosses over the, they're like, here's a $130 million listing. But in like Beverly Hills, we actually get a tour of the entire thing. They point out all the interesting things about the house. It's like so focused on the actual houses. I loved it.
Yeah, I think I told you that it reminded me a lot of Million Dollar Listing. Like, yeah. You actually see the properties and there's some drama, but it's not, it doesn't take over the show, and they squash it. Like they just move on, and it's more about the real estate and actually being like a broker or an agent.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that has to do in terms of squashing it with the fact that they are like a family who like really doesn't have that much significant drama. Like they, mm-hmm. in the end, their family, like they aren't Mauricio and what are their daughters' names?
Farah
and Alexia. They don't act, they like love each other and they aren't actually trying to like be vicious against each other and have their own drama. So even though like they are the center of the drama, it's not high stakes. Like it's like piddly ass little things.
Yeah. So did you notice, first of all, Alexia is Kyle. Like she's mini Kyle. Like that voice, like, that laugh, the energy.
Cover your eyes and you're like, am I watching Kyle Richards? Like I cannot believe the voice. It's insane.
I love listening to her talk. And then did you notice that Farah has the same like underbite as Kyle, because they also talk similarly? They don't have the same voice, but they have that, the way
they do definitely talk similar too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's always like there's not a thought behind Farah's eyes.
I know.
She's just big eyes, but not a thought.
She's very interesting character, because like
I know,
obviously
I didn't like seeing what I saw about the engagement stuff.
Okay, so that made me so clearly never want to push an engagement, because frick, like she was pushing so hard for the engagement, like bugging him, and then he like all of a sudden proposes, and it like I didn't even feel excited about it, because I was like, oh my god, did I force him into this? Like I'm not even involved, but that's what was going through my head.
I was hoping that like he was being weird, because the whole time he had already had a plan to propose to her and was just like hiding the ring or waiting for it to get made. And that's why he was being so like sketch. But yeah. They didn't say anything like that. So that's why it seemed so anticlimactic.
Yeah. And it just seemed, because she was pushing so hard for it and he was so like, just like, why are you pushing this so hard? He just didn't seem that into it, that it felt like kind of like almost like an ultimatum. Kind of thing that happened. I highly doubt that's what happened, but I don't know. And especially when he did it just like at the dinner table, like I don't know. I'll take an engagement whichever way I can get it, but I want something a little bit more special than that.
I don't like how small she becomes around him.
Yeah, I agree.
I just saw a tweet that said, why did no one mention that the Allie Lutz is in Buying Beverly Hills, the same Allie that famously broke into Brody Jenner's room in the middle of the night looking for a lost ring while Kristen Cavallari was in his bed?
I don't remember that at all. I saw some things about this overlap, but I don't know.
Well, she pissed me off when she brought up the engagement stuff in front of Farah's boyfriend and Mauricio.
Yeah, I would hate that. Like, it's cringe. So uncomfortable. It's like, girl, you're supposed to have my back. Like, this isn't the way to go about it. Like, have private conversations with me. This is so awkward.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it.
I loved it. And I hope it comes back soon.
There weren't enough episodes.
I know. I agree. But it's a definite pitch for me.
Okay. Well, I watched it. In fact, I pitched it to you. So pitch.
Well, pitch it right back.
Well, I pitch it right back to you, bitch.
Okay. Anyway. Do you want to talk about BIP, Bachelor in Paradise?
Yeah, let's do it. Whole lot or nothing.
There's four things I want to talk about. Four relationships.
Okay.
Four triangles, so to speak.
Well, can not we all first triangles. Just talk about how I do not give a shit about Michael and Danielle. And I wish they would just leave.
I know.
They're so fucking boring.
They are boring. And every time they're on the screen, I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm just waiting for Michael to break up with her.
Waste of screen time.
So he's not traumatized enough. It's like, it isn't going to actually go anywhere. This doesn't feel actually real. Like, they somehow feel like the fakest, even though they're the most oldest and, like,
it should be the most mature fake, and
serious. It does. Because I just feel like with Michael's track record, it's not going to fucking go anywhere. Like, it's going to end. It's just a matter of time when.
It seems like it from the preview of the reunion. It seems like they're not together.
No, I really don't think they are. I think Michael needs to go to a lot of more therapy. More time needs to pass. He needs to figure out his shit because he's not ready for these relationships.
And justice for Sierra.
Truly.
I hope she gets a good, decent apology.
I hope so too.
But I don't believe anything that comes out of Michael's mouth. He's just like one of those schmoozers who just knows what to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Puts on an act.
Not a fan. Okay. So the first group of people I want to talk about are Eliza, Rodney, and Justin, that whole debacle.
Okay. Yeah, I have many thoughts.
First thing, I'm extremely annoyed at watching Eliza cry and like tip tap around her eyes. Like if I have to see that at the reunion, I'm going to lose my fucking shit. I don't know why it enrages me so much, but it's like, just cry. Just cry. Let the tears fall.
That, and I always have to turn the volume up when she's talking. It's like, why are you talking like a baby?
Yeah, and her, like, the way she talks too is all like she's like,
yeah,
smiling.
Yeah.
Digging. It's so
weird. You're making me really uncomfortable.
Well, that's how she makes me feel.
Well, I didn't do anything to you.
Okay, but the whole thing, okay, so she is not sure who to choose between the two of them. The whole fucking beach is obsessed with Rodney. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure there for her to pick Rodney. She ultimately ends up picking Rodney. She spends the whole rest of her night crying. They wake up the next day. She decides she made a grave error. She breaks up with Rodney. She goes to find Justin.
Justin rejects her. Okay, so let's
– yeah, so let's just stop right there before she goes to see Justin.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
Well, okay. I could see why she felt in that moment like she had to choose Rodney. Like, the way that beach fucking unraveled when that dude left, I was like, what is this guy? Is this God? Like, what is so...
I don't like Mara, but when she entered, I felt bad for her. It was like she was walking into a funeral. Everyone was acting like they lost someone.
Everyone's crying. Everyone's reeling. Everyone's so upset. And, like, I'll admit, like, I did shed some tears. What? I don't know why. I shed some tears when Rodney left, too. I'm like, why is this man taking a hold on me, too? Like, I don't feel, like, actually logically compelled to feel bad for this guy. But, like, everyone's just so upset about this guy. Like, I feel truly bad for him.
Right.
I don't know. It was just crazy how everyone felt. But so I could see why Eliza, like, did what she did. In terms of choosing Rodney in that moment.
I think Eliza was super immature at the beginning and how she handled everything. And she was trying to flip it onto Rodney when she knew she wanted Justin from the beginning. But she felt pressure from everyone. But I will say, I understood how she was feeling in deciding between them as time went on. And I thought she did right by telling Rodney exactly where her head was at. And like, I thought it was good for her to say, look, I felt this pressure because everyone loves you and you are amazing and this and that. But as soon as it happened, I felt for Justin. And it's good she didn't like continue it on. Like, she left.
No, yeah. I think that was a really good move as well. I agree with you on all those points. But yeah, then when she left, I was like, okay, let her leave. I don't give a fuck about their little reunion. But then the next episode, we saw the reunion. And I was like, okay, I kind of care. Because it was kind of... I don't know.
Justin couldn't even believe that Eliza left Rodney for him.
Like, his face was like, I fucked up. Like, literally, because he realized in that moment that, like, all this ploy that he was putting on to have this love triangle and Bachelor in Paris when he really didn't give a fuck was, like, all catching up to him. And this chick flew across the fucking country to Maryland to go, like, profess her love and like,
now he's got to turn her down on TV and be the villain.
Yeah, and he's like, shit, this did not work out in my favor. Like, he wanted the exit where like he could act like he was all sad and had been heartbroken and oh, woe is me. And then she comes back, she's like, no, bitch, you gotta dump me now after I flew across the country. And he's like, shit. Like, I'm actually kind of surprised that he did that in a moment.
Me but too.
Then he uses this bullshit excuse. She's like, you know what you just said there in terms of like not wanting someone to hesitate. That's how I feel right now. And I need to choose me. I'm like, this is all bullshit.
The way they keep flipping shit onto other people, like Eliza did it with Rodney and now Justin's doing it with Eliza. But what I was going to say was Justin commented on someone's tweet and said a whole 3-hour conversation condensed into 30 seconds on TV. And all the replies were like, boy, all we needed was 30 seconds to understand where your head was at. Like, you're not going to save your face here. You clearly didn't want to be with her.
No, and it was all bullshit. Like, I think all of his stuff in the beach was bullshit. Him coming back, like, wanting her so bad. I think it was all for, like, TV drama. He wanted it more of his moment in the spotlight. Like, I am not Team Justin at all.
Yeah, that blew up in his face for sure.
Yeah, and even, like, when your best friend, Andrew, is being like, he's going to be fine, bro. Like, then you know. Like, if you were on that beach saying, like, she'll be fine, you know me best. Like, you know exactly what's going on. Like, we should trust whatever Andrew's saying about Justin.
Yeah, Andrew, like, really felt for Rodney. But I think, he was in a headspace about Teddy and everything.
Yeah, so let's get to that, the next person I want to talk about.
Oh, my God, I'm cringing.
This Andrew Jesenia NC Teddy debacle. Andrew's hanging out with Jesenia, and then all of a sudden this NC chick comes down the beach.
Who is NC?
No fucking clue. Don't know who she is. Don't even know what season she's on. She's brand new to me. And they immediately hit it off, and basically it's like, I don't even know if there was a conversation with Jesenia to be like, yo, I'm gonna pursue this.
But I can't remember.
It was kind of like just implied, like all of a sudden he's with NC.
No, there was. There was a conversation. It was on the beach.
Okay, I must have just skipped past it because I just didn't care about them at the time. But then they go to this ball or this Sadie Hawkins dance. And Andrew's having like the best time making out with NC left, right, and center. Then Jesenia pulls Andrew aside to have a chat with him. And I don't even know what Jesenia was trying to get out of the conversation. Like, it really seemed like...
Yeah, she was like, I still don't know where your head is at. And it's like, dude, he told you before. His head is not with you.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? It almost seemed like a person with a savior complex, and all she wanted to do was, like, to get him to admit that, like, it's nothing to do with you, Jesenia. I'm just all fucked up. Like,
the way she was speaking to him was very therapist-y.
Totally. And she just, like, wouldn't stop asking questions. I'm like, why do you care? Like, why is this conversation even happening? Like, who cares if he like has this moment of finally realizing like the reason he can't connect with people is because he's still into Teddy? Like, why are you so invested in him coming to that realization? Like, go invest your time and emotional energy elsewhere, because like, he doesn't give a fuck about you anymore.
Yeah, so I have many thoughts. Number one, Jesenia literally did this with Ivan last season. So like, who is she to say anything? At the same time, I do believe it is okay for Jesenia to try to seek closure, but she was speaking in circles, and you're right, I didn't know what she was saying. I didn't know what she was actually trying to get at. But third, Andrew's right. Like, you're on Bachelor in Paradise for that reason, to date people. And and Andrew going on dates after Teddy left to try and move on is what any person would do to try to get over someone.
Yeah, so, I agree.
I don't know.
And it's not like he was love bombing. He wasn't love bombing these people. Like, each person, he was like very slowly feeling it out. It was more like friendship vibes, just like hanging out. There was no like, I'm so madly in love with you immediately. Like, he was really taking everything day by day, step by step, being very transparent with his feelings all the time. So I don't feel like he did anything wrong.
Yeah, and eventually he came to the conclusion that, okay, I'm not over Teddy. I need to get out of here. So
yeah, and then when he tries to leave, NC tries to interrupt their conversation twice. Oh, it was just so immature. She's like, you have to leave with me right now. Like, what are they even talking about?
If you
want to
pursue anything with me, you'll walk away from this conversation.
Yeah, like, what are you trying to do? Like, pull a power move? Like, the power move would be like
yesterday.
Yeah. And she kept on saying to everyone else, she's like, oh, that's strike three. That's strike three. Like, I'm done with it. It's like, okay, well, then why are you keep going back to this conversation? Like, take your information and move the fuck on. But no, then she goes, has a conversation with him, and he's like, I need to leave. I'm still interested in Teddy. I don't see this going anywhere. And she immediately flips the script and is like, begging. Oh my gosh, I needed to like mute my TV for this whole scene that went on forever.
It was really bad. Like, so I can't watch BIP until the next day because I don't have cable, so I stream it. But I love spoilers, and so I will always look at the Twitter feed while I know that it's airing. And I kept seeing people post memes of her and talking about it. And usually when I follow these tweets, they're not as bad as the tweets make it out to be. But this was bad. Like,
yeah,
worse than what the tweets were saying.
I just like okay, you know the moment why I have this all the time because I'm like a loser, but when you're at a party and you really just want to leave, and yeah, somebody's like, no, don't leave, stay, come on, just stay, just have one more drink, and I'm like, dude, like, just respect my fucking boundary and let me fucking go. Like, don't try to make me feel bad about it. I hate when people do that. And this was that on crack. Like, she was just begging, no, please, Andrew, please stay just one more night, blah 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 blah. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, you obviously don't have a future together. He just told you he's interested in Teddy. Like, why are you begging him to stay?
She met him the day before, and I feel like she was looking for those three strikes, because everything she found to be a strike was like
totally reasonable things, like him wanting to give another girl the respect of a conversation. Like, why do you trump her? Like,
yeah,
he's a good guy.
Yeah, and like they were playing a game and then he left to go talk to a girl that he was dating. Like, you just met him.
Yeah, and if anything, Jesenia had like taken a lot of disrespect up until that point. Mm-hmm. By having, not disrespect necessarily, but like having to watch all that, and never once was she's like, I can't believe you just do this, Andrew. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And she really bothered me. I just, that scene, I was like, man, you just got to leave, like run away from this chick because I need you to get out of here.
Yeah. But I'm glad that Andrew left, because honestly, he was just coasting.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know how he lasted that long.
He was. I did kind of sense though that I think he's actually quite emotionally intelligent, because mm-hmm. if you ever notice how like he was so perceptive of everyone's body language, and like even mm-hmm. when Eliza came down, he's like, oh dude, that doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. And then when he saw them on the beach and like gave the thumbs down, he's like, yeah, I just need one look at them to like realize. And even when like he was talking to Rodney about the whole Eliza situation, he's like, yeah, Rodney, like you got to keep in mind, like that might have taken a huge toll on her. I don't know where her head's going to be at. Just like temper your expectations a bit. I was like, shit, man, he actually might be quite emotionally intelligent.
He is. I agree. If only he didn't post those tweets a while ago, I would go chasing after him.
Yeah, I know. I was looking though, because I'm like, I wonder if him and Teddy got back together, because I feel like
I was trying to look for that too.
Yeah, and I didn't see anything, but like I feel like same. The BIP environment was just so toxic for Teddy, but I don't think it necessarily was an Andrew issue. Like, I know
no,
that's how it turned out, but like I think they maybe could have a future, and now I'm shipping them.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they try it out. It seems like they need to get it out of their system at least.
Yeah. Okay, the next couple I want to talk about are Jen and Aaron.
Oh my god.
Like, man, they must have broken up, right? Because like she's tweeting up a storm and none of it seems very positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they're obviously so toxic. She's toxic, like, and she's still trying to defend herself. So in this episode, they have the most stupidest fight about whether itch is a low-level pain. She again packs her bags. She again storms off. Like, her fight or flight is activated so easily. And she just, like, reverts to flight every single time. It's like, dude, you need therapy. But then in her tweets, she's, like, defending it. She's like, yeah, you know, that's my go-to. I always leave the situation. It's like, there's something wrong with that, dude. Like, you have to be able to have these conversations with your partner.
And, like, are you not embarrassed? This is all being filmed. It's in front of a group of friends. And, like, if you're actually trying to build a relationship with this guy, that's embarrassing.
I just can't believe he keeps putting up with it. Like, at a certain point, I'd be like, fine, if you want to go, go. Like, I'm done begging you to stay over this stupid shit.
I will say, like, I don't think Aaron's an angel.
Definitely not.
Yeah, they're both toxic. And I hope they don't continue.
I agree. I think maybe they get engaged and then break up shortly thereafter or something. But they're definitely not lifers.
No. Lastly, Kate, Logan, and who? Oh, it's like the new girls who show up and then don't do anything.
Yeah, just like this Kate. Oh, she's infuriating.
I can't listen to her talk.
Oh my gosh. Like, I just feel so bad for Logan. Like, she keeps on telling Logan, like, you need to prove yourself, blah, blah, blah. Logan's like trying his best. And then he says to her, he's like, I feel like you just kind of talk to me sometimes as if you think I'm lower than you. And she's like, oh my gosh, what? No, I would, no, totally not. And then she's in an ITM being like,
criticized you.
Yeah, she's saying this to all to his face. And then you hear her in an ITM being like, you know, he's like 26. He's got a roommate. He can't afford a membership at Equinox.
He drives an orange child.
Like, she's just talking shit, mad shit about him for not being like as wealthy as her. And like, as I don't even know.
Is she wealthy? I don't
even know. Well, she works for the Oppenheim group.
Oh, right.
So I don't know. But still, it's like, dude, like, he's a nice guy. Like, you can't just, like, I understand it's totally valid to think, like, hey, this person's maybe not right for me because they're in a different life space. But then don't go talking shit about, like, the fact where he's gotten to at that point. Like, he obviously still has ambitions. And, like, yeah, maybe he hasn't as much success to you. And, like, if that matters to you, cool. But, like, you don't have to shit talk him about it.
Yeah, exactly. There's that. And there's that saying, which I'm probably going to butcher. Don't try and fit a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. She's like, yeah, she's really trying to make it work, and she knows it's not going to.
And she keeps getting mad at him for the stupidest things. Like, literally, it was like 2 days ago that she went on that date with that other guy and was like actually thinking about staying with him. And then this Lindsay chick comes down the beach, asks Logan to go on a date. He immediately says, I need to talk to her. And she's like, I can't believe you would even entertain this by having to have a conversation with me. He's like, well, what the fuck was he going to do? If you were like, actually, no, this has been a reality check, I don't care, go on the date, then he would go on the date. Like, he needed to check in on you. Like, it's just ridiculous.
He can't win. But also, did you catch her saying, like, when I went with Hayden, like, I've changed since then. That was eons ago. Bitch, it was literally 2 days ago.
Yeah, like, how their relationship had progressed so much more. I was like, that's a fucking lie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just hate the way she's treating him. And I hate that he keeps, like, missing out on other opportunities to find people who are actually good for him by, like, hanging on to this whole Kate thing. Like, I think he's got it in his mind. I honestly think it's because of all of this, like, Rachel and Gabby coming down and saying, oh, you're so flighty, you're so – yeah, now he's trying to, like, be so opposite and committed to Kate to, like, disprove that narrative when it's, like, you're on the wrong – you've chosen the wrong horse.
I completely agree. Completely. Yeah.
I think he's just trying to do a repair of his reputation as opposed to, like, doing things that are actually right for him.
Yeah. I mean, he is still growing. Like, he is 26.
Yeah, and I honestly didn't expect Gabby and Rachel to be so savage about him.
Me neither. But I do guess, like, BIP was filmed shortly after Bachelorette, so it's all very fresh.
Totally. And we know Rachel in that season was insufferable. Mm-hmm. She was so insecure and upset. So, like, him jumping ship obviously had a tremendous impact on her security.
Yeah. I wish everyone would stop talking about how young the twins are, because literally everyone else is just a year or two older than them. And it's not.
Except for Mara.
And Flo.
And Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, Mara. I want her off my screen.
She needs to go. They need to take out the trash. Like, they're not trash, but, like, take out the people that are, like, useless. Like, no one coming down at this point is going to develop an actual relationship. So, like, let's get rid of everybody. Let's do the thing where, like, they have to choose to stay or leave. Like, let's do that. I think they're now finally doing that. But we should have done that, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. But that's all for the love triangles. I'm happy for Brittany and Tyler. They seem unproblematic. And I don't think Shanae and her boy are going to go anywhere, really. But
definitely
she's
not.
She's having fun.
Yeah, I know. But they just need to get rid of them. We need to see what's going to happen with these relationships. And we need this to be over. I'm so over it.
Donezo.
Yeah. Skip to the reunion. I just want to know if these people are still together. I want to know what happened. Let's skip to the good part.
But, okay, I was going to say, once this is done, we should remind our listeners of what's on the docket. So we've got Southern Hospitality starting November 28th, Real House of Miami shortly after, Potomac and Salt Lake City are still going on, and I guess that new season of Bachelor will happen.
And Winter House is still going on.
Yes, Winter House is still going on.
Kardashians is still going on.
That's almost done.
Blow Deck Med, Blow Deck Adventure, The Challenge, sure. Survivor, like
sure. Sex Lives of College Girls.
There's White just Lotus my plate too. My plate is overflowing.
Her cup runneth over.
That's what I was looking for.
Nice.
My plate is overflowing.
Yeah, like get another bowl.
No.
And that's how we're going to end this episode.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.